This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the joy and the power of your Holy Spirit present with us this day. And Lord, my heart, as I have cried out to you on this message, that truly you are giving us a stone in a sling that is going to bring a giant down. Lord, a giant that has been terrorizing young people now for a number of years. Lord, a giant that has paralyzed so many people. But today, God, I thank you that in this house and beyond, that there is a stone by your word that you're putting into a sling this day, and you are about to bring down a giant in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you that you will be glorified, that there will be an anointing of your Holy Spirit on your word today. And I pray, God, that there not be one single heart that would be closed to your word. This is you speaking today. This is what you want to do. And Lord, those that have hidden this thing, this is something that has been in the closet, that you are going to open the door today, and there's going to be a boldness. There is going to be a courage. Lord, I pray that there will be a courage in the house of the Lord today, that young people will rise to their feet and say, God, no more will I be terrorized by this giant. No more will I be dictated by the dictates of this world. And God, I thank you today that there is a victory and there is going to be a glory in the house and many are going to be set free. We proclaim it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this Victory Over Eating Disorders. In 1993-94, an enemy came into my household undetected. I didn't understand the enemy. I did not fully comprehend, or my wife comprehend, this enemy that had come into our own household. But in 1993-94, this enemy came in and began to terrorize our house. We had no idea in the beginning that this was an enemy. It was masked. It was hidden from our view. We didn't understand things. We began to investigate, but my middle daughter, who had struggled so many times and things began to come back. By the way, I have called her and this last week and had a long conversation with her, and everything I'm sharing with you today about her, it has been given with absolute pleasure for me to share her life with you today. She said, Daddy, you can share my life from beginning to end, because if it'll help one person get free, then it is worth it. So I share with you this afternoon about my daughter, with that she has given me the right to do so. But in 93-94, my daughter, for some reason, I'm not sure whether it was associated with the fact that she wanted so desperately to get on to the cheerleading squad. I couldn't determine whether it was that or whether it was difficulties that she had seen in our family. But I know that my daughter, my oldest daughter, every day before going to school would speak to her and say, Heather, you are beautiful. God has made you beautiful. And you need to go into school today recognizing what God says about you and not what you think about yourself. And so we just kind of thought that was so sweet of my oldest daughter to battle this battle with Heather in this area of the struggle of how she perceived herself and how she viewed herself when she looked in the mirror. But this battle came into our household. And it was a struggle that took us for the next several years We were making our way through this battle, this struggle. It caused us to pray, to fast, to intercede, long discussions. And I'm going to come back to her story at the end of the message. But I wanted to share that with you just to let you know and identify that this isn't just a message that I've been picked up, that the Holy Spirit's put on my heart that has not touched our own home or our family. But I can tell you today that in the midst of the struggle, Jesus was glorified, and that my daughter came through powerfully and victoriously over the struggle of anorexia in her life. Now, the pendulum swing in this country over the last 20 years there's a huge pendulum swing, and it swings from obesity to bulimia, from overeating to purging. And it is a huge swing. In fact, with much of the study that I've done and the research that I have done recently, the 20th century was called the cult of the body. People today are consumed how they look and how they are received. Dieting today is a billion-dollar industry, followed by the gymnasium and aerobic classes. The cult of the body is no longer an adolescent problem. A recent newspaper article, the Baltimore Sun, shared how that between 50 or 40 to 60 year olds are now obsessed with how they look. The research and consulting psychologists and video information and speaking with people, it's amazing some of the facts that have been disclosed. Most first graders, little kids going to the first grade know what their weight is. Between 80 and 90% of fourth graders have already participated in their first real diet. Women, 15 to 20 year olds, are at the greatest risk of being tempted to diet or to binge and purge. And as we see, as I've just mentioned to you from the Baltimore Sun, 40 to 60 year olds are now facing new pressure to remain thin. You see, people are living longer. And because they're living longer, the pressure to look good, even in retirement, is now growing. And the media, we are bombarded by thousands upon thousands of images depicting what we should be looking like. These subliminal images, whether it's in magazines, whether it's on television or in the movies. But the media has bombarded us. You can't even go into a grocery store without looking at models, supermodels, on almost every single magazine. It just bombards your eyes as you walk into grocery stores, let alone what's on the television. You can't even sell a car today without having a supermodel sitting on the hood. It just seems everything that the society that we're living in is bombarding us. And the media and its overexposure on this problem has exacerbated the situation in the world that we live in. So that you're having situations like 80% of fourth graders dieting because they don't want to get fat. And that's the bottom line. Fat is out, folks. Sin is in. That's the subliminal message that is given to us by the media. And it pervades right across all of this country. We are saturated. It's an unsaid slogan. We are saturated in our society. And the media has been the single force of this giant rising up in our midst to be thin. And it's a problem. Now let me, out of all the information, I'm going to give you promises. As I touch certain issues, I'm going to come back with certain promises of the Word of God for you this afternoon and then bring it to a close of tremendous deliverance. But see, the devil looks for a hook. He's always looking for some kind of a hook to bring people into some prison or another. So when we deal with eating disorders, you've got to understand, when I speak to a congregation like this today, I know in my own family, when I've raised two girls and brought them to maturity and they are now married and are on in their own life. And so working with them, I know that in my own household, and I know in the congregation today that there's not a single person in the household today, not a single woman who has at some point has not thought and given much attention to the fact of her weight. It is something that the media displays to us all the time, and that we have got this tremendous struggle going on. So the devil looks for some kind of a hook. Now, in all the information I've gone through, I've found three basic hooks that the enemy uses to hook young people into this thing called bulimia or anorexia nervosa. The media has portrayed to our teens, and the first area that is displayed to us is in this word called selection. It's an amazing word, and it was in all of the study, in all of listening to reels and reels of or great lengths of video footage, this word selection kept coming up over and over again. For a young girl, this is the bombardment, this is the hook that comes to them in life. Do you want to be selected, or do you want to be bypassed? If you want to be selected, whether it is in dance, whether it is in for magazines or modeling or TV or movies, we see that if you're fat, you're out. And so to be selected, you've got to be thin. And so this very thing of being selected, what the media has done, it has taken women and portrayed them as brainless without any form of mind or education. And that if you want to be selected in life, you want some guy to look at you and select you as though you are some kind of dress on a hanger, and preferably size 2 to 4. That most women are viewed by the media and by this present world we live in as just some kind of dress to be hung up, hoping that some guy somewhere along the line is going to come along and find you pretty enough, small enough, thin enough, good looking enough to be selected. So this whole thing in the school systems is the whole process of being selected to be a part of a peer group. The selection process. It's an amazing power that the devil says, you want to be selected? You want to have a friend? You want to be with the in crowd? Then you've got to drop 20 pounds, baby. And this is the hook that the enemy uses. You want to get married? You want to get a great job? You've got to be thin. And it's the selection thing. But I want to tell you something. You are not just a dress on a hanger waiting for some guy to come along and pick the right size. The Bible tells me that you are an educated individual. The devil has tried to rob you as an individual that has no brains. I want to tell you, young people today, you have a choice in this lifetime. You have an intelligence and you have an emotion. And God made you in His image. And it's in His image that God is going to use your life. And this day, we are going to take aside this concept that I am just a size 2 or 4 to be selected in life. No, you have a choice in life. You don't have to wait for somebody to select you for marriage. You don't have to wait for some guy to come along, the first guy that pays you any kind of attention or any kind of mind. Then you get selected and you got to go with that guy? Absolutely not. You have an intelligence from God. You have an emotion. You are smart. God made you the way you are. And you have a choice in this life. And you can say, no thank you. I don't need to go with you. And you can wait for the right choice at the right time that God leads you into. But it's a hook of the enemy to try to hook you in. The second, well, the promise that God gave me that for you today is that you haven't chosen Him, but He says, I have chosen you. He didn't wait for you to get thin before He said, I chose you. He didn't wait for you to clean up your act. He says, you didn't choose me. I already selected you. I saw you and I loved you. And my selection is on you exactly the way that you are. And the change that's going to be made is not an external change, but I'm going to change you on the inside out. I'm going to put a glory into your life. That's the promise. John chapter 15, verse 16. The second hook that the enemy uses is this thing called rejection. It's the second hook that gets a hold of people's lives that sends them into this thing called anorexia and bulimia. It's either rejection by a father, or it is rejection by a boyfriend, or it is rejection by peers, and now in older women, by a husband. And there is a trigger in this rejection. And it's an amazing thing. And I heard this with my oldest daughter saying something to her little daughter, and I cautioned her and said, you don't want to go there with this particular word. And the simple word that triggers so many people into going into anorexia or bulimia is this word called chunky or chubby. You're a little chubby around the middle. You're a little chubby, or you're a little chunky. Missy, a young girl, became hospitalized because of advanced anorexia. And treatment was having little effect. And you see, so many young people who have gone into this area of control of eating because of some form of rejection, whether it was by a father or boyfriend or peers, like I mentioned. So rejection is sometimes some of the deepest work that the enemy puts a hook into to get you into eating disorders. And Missy is one of these gals who, I've changed the name, by the way, just for the purpose of confidentiality. But Missy is a young girl who was not responding to any form of treatment. Nothing that did happen to her seemed to work in her life. And even though she was hospitalized, she came close to death. Nothing was working in her life. And by the way, I wanted to say that this isn't just something that's taking place in the world. I was talking with Pastor Carter, and we both know of a young person who in a church, in a large church where there is a large youth group, it was almost like in the high 80 percentile, almost every young girl in that church and in those communities, Christian communities, were bound by anorexia or bulimia. It seems like even in the church world, this attack on our young people has come, and it seems like the world has just come straight into the church and said, no, I'm going to get you in the church as well. And Missy is like one of these girls who nothing was helping her to come through this problem of this eating disorder in her life. And I don't want to minimize this at all on these problems. And I understand that it is completely complex. But in counseling, in confidential counseling, at some point, she began to open up her heart, and she began to share that when she was very young, she was abused sexually. And because of the abuse that she suffered, and sexually as a small girl by her own father, she felt this incredible rejection by her father afterwards. And this sent her into this place of controlling her life by what she ate and what she didn't eat. And for years, she couldn't be set free because the secret of her heart, this rejection that was so deep down that nobody else in the world knew, but the devil knew that there was this area where she was rejected in, and the devil used that as a hook to get her into this place of an eating disorder for many years. But until she opened up her heart and began to share the very deep secrets of her heart, the very thing that caused such pain and such rejection, it was only after that time that this little girl got free and she walked away from that eating disorder in her life. The Bible tells us in James chapter 5 verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. See, that's the promise of God. The promise of God is this, that if there has been an area where there has been damage in your heart and life, whether somebody said to you, you're chunky or you're chubby, and this sent you reeling, or this sent you into a place of wanting to control what you ate, or somebody as bad as sexually molesting you so many years ago has caused you to go into a place of controlling your appetite and your eating by anorexia or bulimia or some other, or even obesity. These are all signs of something that has taken place, and the devil has got a hook in it. But I want to tell you, you can take that hook out this day. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another, be prayed for, and you shall be healed. That's the promise of Almighty God. It's possible to take this hook that the enemy has put into you out by the power of Almighty God. The Word of God is powerful today, beloved. And you know that you can be healed, and that's the promise of God for rejection. Confess it, pray, and you shall be healed. It's a promise from Almighty God. The third area, selection, rejection, and the third area is vocational pressure or peer pressure and peer pressure. The discrimination of young, pretty, and thin girls getting top positions has increased the pressure on many women to get jobs. There's a discrimination in the workplace. To catch the boss's eye, you'd better be thin and pretty because otherwise you're not going to get the job. It's a discrimination. And it is so widespread, and it increases the pressure on people to be thin. Peers who do not want to have fat friends in their group. It's so hard for these kids at school. We deal with so many people all the time, and their families tell us that how hard it is to make friends at school because the in crowd don't want anybody fat among them. They don't want any overweight friends. And I think of Karen, became so ashamed of her body because of the peer pressure. She became so ashamed. She hated the way she looked. She looked in the mirror, and she's a pretty young girl, but when she looked in the mirror, she saw something different. Always seeing, she's too fat. Somebody said, we don't want you in our group because, you know what, we don't have fat people around us. She began to cut her arms. She began to cut her legs. She spoke about the first time that she took a knife and just began to cut. It wasn't suicide. It wasn't attempted suicide. It's just cutting. And these girls cut their arms. Young boys do the same. They just cut their arms because the pain and the release of the blood is better than the pain of being rejected by peers. It's something that is going on in our schools today. Even in young boys, I remember looking back at my son and I said, "What happened to your arm?" And I saw these cuts on his arm. And he said, "Well, I ran through a bush." Oh, okay. Watch out. Don't run through bushes. Didn't realize that he was cutting. It's a phenomena that is sweeping the schools. It's a phenomena in young people, and it's a release of pain. Then they cut themselves and they see the release of that blood. It's just, there's something that causes a physical pain to try to ease an emotional pain that the enemy has brought into them by some reckless words of some people round about them. And there's a pressure. Beloved, we don't understand. I said to my daughter, never say to your little girl that you're chubby or chunky. Those simple little words are like a knife that goes deep into the soul. And it pierces people's lives. And they can't handle it. And so the next thing, they start to begin to go into these controls in their life. Karen began cutting. She began to binge and purge, which is called bulimia. Binging on food and then going into the bathroom and purging herself. So she would eat dinner with her family and then say, "I've got to go up to do homework and go do schoolwork." And she'd race upstairs only to purge herself. This girl, Karen, she lost 20 pounds, over 20 pounds in a very short time. And it was amazing, she said, as she began to share her testimony. She said, "It was so amazing because the friends that rejected me were so amazed at what I looked like. So amazed." And they said, "Oh, come and join us. Come over. Tell us how you look great. You look so good." And she became accepted again into the group, not realizing that what was getting her there was this purging that was going on in her body, that she was holding herself back from all of the nutrients that were needed in her body. And so we see that this is a danger that is, and she continued this for a number of years. She would purge herself up to 10 times a day. Just so that she wouldn't put on any weight at all, so that she could have friends accept her and invite them into their midst. She became addicted to this and it almost killed her. I want to tell you, beloved, that there's a promise that you need to know today in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, to the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We do not have to perform for God's acceptance. We do not have to perform. We don't have to get skinny. We don't have to do any of these kinds of controls. When the moment that you receive Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says God accepts us. And you need to know today, young person, middle-aged person, you need to know that you are 100% accepted by God this day. That you are accepted exactly the way you are. No changes needed. Any change that He'll do it Himself on the inside. Hallelujah. Say with me, I'm accepted in God. You need to hear that out of your own mouth. God does accept you. The facts today, that if you are anorexic and you go below 20% of your body weight, you are in danger of heart failure. Karen Carpenter, a singer of my generation who sang Close to You, died because she was anorexic. But the most common that is used by, the most common form used by young women today is this bulimia, the binging and the purging. Now, I shared with you what I consider to be the top three hooks that the devil uses. This thing about being selected. If I'm going to be selected, I have to be a certain size. Another area is this rejection. And the third was vocational pressure or peer pressure. But as I was going through the information and just seeing, you know, different things that were being mentioned all the way through the study, I came across three words that were being used nonstop. That there's a word that is continuously used that begins to come out of young people's mouths, middle-aged people's mouths, older people's mouths. And it was amazing because I just sat and was talking to people, listening to information. I just had a notepad on hand and I began to write it down. And this pattern began to emerge. The number one word that comes out of the mouth all the time of people that have got themselves caught in a snare and a trap of one of these eating disorders is the word control. In fact, one young lady said, when I am out of control of my eating, I am out of control of my life. It's this word control, that when we have been disappointed, or when if the enemy has got a foothold into our life, either through selection or rejection or vocational pressure in our lives, there's one thing that you can do, the enemy says. You can control your own destiny. You can control your own life. You can control the way you look by the way you eat. And this is the message that the media plays over and over to us. You can change the way you look. You can change the way you are by the way that you eat. And this is something that is played over and over and over again until we are buying millions of dollars of diet books in January. By March, we've given up because it's not happening. But be sure next year we're buying a new set of books on dieting. But this word control, this is the main lie of the devil himself. You control your destiny. Don't let somebody else control you. Don't let somebody else, some other peer pressure control you. Don't let other people control you. You control your destiny. You're in control of what you eat. And so suddenly we take plates of food before us and we're now controlling the intake of our food because we believe a lie. That by controlling what I eat, people will accept me because I will change, and you can change the way you look and change the way you act and change the way people see you just by controlling what you eat. It's all about control. And the devil says, don't give this control to God. You take control of your life. You see how they've hurt you. You've seen how they've dealt with you. You take control. And this is the number one lie that he says, that you can make yourself into an image that's going to be acceptable. You can change your image. And you can control your destiny. It's the biggest lie of the enemy. See, God wants to control our lives. He wants to lead us and guide us. He wants to put His Spirit within us and give us purpose and destiny. He wants to take us into the four corners of the world by the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon our lives. But the devil comes and says, no, you take control of your life. And it's all this thing about control. We've dealt with so many young people who, because of some wound or hurt, they take control. It's the one area that they can take handle a control on their life with. When they seem out of control, when somebody has raped them or abused them or sexually hurt them or maligned them or said bad things about them, it's this area that they know I can take control on. I know I can control the amount of food that comes into my body and I can regulate this. And beloved, it's all a lie from the enemy. And again, I don't want to minimize the complexity of these eating disorders, but I want to tell you that there is a God in heaven who has a better plan for you, who has a purpose in life for you, and that when you yield yourself to the control of Almighty God, life takes on brand new meaning, beloved. It's not about how you look, it's about how you stand with Almighty God. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, I get a passion in my soul because of the battle that we had in my own household. Now, the Bible tells me this. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 10, it says, John, the Revelator, says, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Now, I'm going to come back to the spiritual application, but there's a principle here that works all the time. You see, the devil's lie is this. He'll come to you and he says, you take control of your life. And you begin, and so you start your diet. You begin to take control. Well, I'm going to regulate the food intake into my body. And so he tells you, and it's sweet because you see, you get on the scale and the scale begins to drop and you begin to see, oh yeah, this is coming off really great. And suddenly people begin to accept you. And so it accelerates and exacerbates the whole situation. So you get on farther and farther on this diet. And see, it begins sweet in the mouth, but it ends up being bitter in the belly. The end result of eating disorders is a destroyed life. It may begin sweet, but it ends bitter. It might start looking great, and you might for a moment in time think, yes, I'm losing weight, and this is great, how wonderful this is, but the bitterness that it leaves behind is greater than the joy that starts it out. And this is the lie of the devil. It may look good to begin with, but it doesn't end up being that good. I think of a woman that we saw the testimony. She was a very famous New York ballerina. And she's my age. She's actually 1 year older. She's 54 years old. And we saw some footage of this woman. Now, this woman in her heyday, she was celebrated as one of the greatest ballerinas in New York City and doing great shows. And she was supple, and she was in demand. She was thin. She could do the splits. She could dance on her toes. She could lift her leg above her head and she was just an amazing woman and in demand all over New York City and the world. And she was put on front pages. She's 54 years old today, and this woman has osteoporosis. She cannot even walk across the street without a walker, because all the bone marrow, she did 10 to 15 years of purging. And the nutrients that destroyed the bones in her body set about in her this osteoporosis, and she is my age. She's my age. And here is this picture of her walking across one of the streets in New York City, having to use a walker because she cannot move. Her limbs have seized up. And she tells young people, and she speaks out upon this problem, and she says, you're going to pay a price later on. You can't purge today and think that there's not going to be bitterness later on. You can't do this now without it affecting you later on in life. But let me bring this to a spiritual side. You see, the Bible tells us that it is sweet as honey. So when we consume the Word of God, you've got to understand that the Word of God sweetened my mouth, but when it gets to every lie that is within me, there is a bitterness that God's Word goes against every lie of the devil. It's one of the greatest truths in the Bible, that God's Word is against every lie of the devil. You can eat it and consume it, and it's going to go after everything that is unlike Christ. The Word of God is going to attack it. The Word of God is going to go after every lie that the devil has planted inside of you. The Word of God is going to defeat it and give you the victory in Jesus' name. And this is what John is talking about. He says the Word will be sweet, but it's going to go after and attack every area of shame, every area of discouragement, every area that has caused you to take control of your life. God's Word is going to defeat that. In fact, Revelation says, Or Ezekiel 3:3 says, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll. The roll meaning not food, the word. Fill your belly with this roll that I will give thee, then eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. The word bowels means stomach, but metaphorically it means your emotions, your volition, your choice, your mind, your very life. He says, but when you take this word and you begin to consume this word and you begin to partake of this, he said, I want you to cause your belly to be filled with my word. Because it's going to be sweetness to you. There's never going to be a day of bitterness. There's never going to be a day that this word isn't going to do what it sets out to do in your life. And he says to Ezekiel, I want you to fill yourself up with my word. Take this whole roll and consume it. And fill your belly with it. Fill your life with it. It'll change your emotions. It'll change the way you see yourself. It'll change the way you relate to other people. And it doesn't matter. Beloved, it doesn't matter the way we look. God accepts me just the way I am. Hallelujah. But that comes by the word of Almighty God. The second word that I want to deal with this afternoon is the word fear. So number one is control. Secondly, the word fear came up over and over and over again that people, when we know that fear has torment. But anorexic and bulimic sufferers fear food. There's a fear of food. If I eat this, well, I'm not going to eat that. Why don't you want to eat that? Well, you don't understand. There's a fear that I'm going to get fat. It's a fear, so we start leaving out certain foods. We start leaving out certain things because it's going to make me fat. And so there's this fear of food and that gets a hold of their mind. But you see, it's a lie from the enemy. And God has come to defeat that fear with truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 32, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. See, when you understand the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ, you're free. The truth has come to set you free. When the truth about who you are. You see, when we look in the mirror, you get a distorted image. You know, we all look in the mirror. There's not a person that I've ever come across in this entire world that I've spoken to that doesn't like something about themselves when they look in the mirror. That's why we never walk around with a mirror in our hand. Because there are things we don't like about ourselves. But when the truth comes, you see, the truth tells you about who you really are. So when you know the truth of who you really are, you won't have to suffer any attack from the enemy. The enemy can come along and say anything that he wants to you, but you understand the truth and you're free in Jesus' name. You'll know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Only truth will set you free from this thing called fear. You see, beloved, God sees you as beautiful. Just as you are, as I've mentioned to you. He made you. And He said, this is good. So He knew every part of you in the womb. And He says, it's good. It's only when we start living, the devil says, not good. This isn't great. If only you could change this. But see, God, when He made us, He loves us exactly how we are. And I had some fun going through the Song of Solomon. You need to lighten up, otherwise this might be too heavy for you this afternoon. Let me tell you that God loves us. With Solomon, he loved this girl. And the Song of Solomon, you can go home and read it. I purposely didn't put the verses down for you so that you could go home and read it, the whole book, sometime yourself. But Solomon loved this girl. And in loving this girl, he didn't care. This Shulamite woman, it wasn't about what she looked. There was something about her that he fell in love with. And it's how God falls in love with us. He doesn't care how we look. He doesn't care what race we are. He doesn't care what background we got. He doesn't care what education we have or don't have. He doesn't care about these things. God so loved the world. He loves every last one of us just the way that we are. And Solomon, you know, God describes us through Solomon. And so describing this, the love of his life, And I'm going to paraphrase some of this just to bring it into English that you can understand. So when he looked at her feet, now she was a girl who ran in the fields. More than likely, she didn't pamper her toes. They weren't painted. They probably had cracks in them, didn't have all these fine oils to make them soft and nice like people have today. So when he looks at her feet, he says, "Your feet look good in shoes." That's what it says, in sandals. But I can see him hiding. Well, you know, your feet are really, really nice. Let's put them in shoes. But it's a descriptor. He loves this girl. And he's just saying, it doesn't matter if you've got big feet. Let's put them in shoes. It's going to be fine. He says, your navel is like, wow, a mug. Your belly, dear Lord, it's like a heap of wheat. But you see, he was so in love, he didn't mind that there was no proportion to her. He says, your neck, let me see, it's like this huge building. But your eyes are like fish pools. Great looking eyes, little muddy, but nice. And so he goes through all of this. He says, your teeth are like a flock, crooked. They didn't have orthodontists in their day. Your nose, and I had to kind of check mine. Your nose is long, like a tower. Your head is like Carmel. Carmel was a bushy mountain. And so you've got this gal who's got bushy hair, a long nose, crooked teeth, fish pool eyes, a neck as tall as a building, a belly like a heap of wheat, a navel as deep as a mug, and big feet stuck in shoes. But listen to what he says. This is in the Bible. Listen to how he closes out. He says, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love. You see, love transcends how we look. Transcends everything about us. I'm still amazed that my wife selected me. I'm still amazed. I love today, 33 years later, I'm still amazed. You still love me, don't you? Yes. It's amazing because love doesn't care about how you look. It cares about the real person on the inside. And every one of you are a real person in the hand of Almighty God with an intelligence, with an emotion, and with a beauty that only God can give. Amen? And that's the love of God as He begins to minister to our hearts and our lives. He says, I will set you free. The last word, which I want to deal with real quickly, is this word vow. Secret vows that are made in the heart through hurt and pain. Comments that made by words that seared into the soul and you make a vow. Devalued as a person, made to be just an object of selection, therefore you make a vow. A secret vow. Most people we deal with, they can't tell you the exact time, but they can tell you of an exact vow. And they didn't say, today I make a vow. They say, today I'll never be rejected again. Today, I take control. Today, I am going to determine my future. Today, and see, it's really an inner vow that they're making. Most people who get caught up in some eating disorder or another, it's because in their heart, through disappointments or whatever has caused them to go in that direction, have made an inner vow in their heart. And they've made it silently. Nobody sees it. Until that vow is broken, very few people get free. But there's a scripture that God absolutely led me to in the book of Numbers, in chapter 30, verse 5. Let me read it to you. It says, but if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. Now, what the Old Testament is saying is that if a young girl quickly, foolishly, or for whatever reason, makes a vow, and the Bible says it's better not to vow than make a vow and not keep it. And vows were very important in the Old Testament. Vows were to be kept, and if a person made a vow, you were held to that vow. So it became a very powerful tool. And if a young person made a vow, if a young girl made a quick flippant vow because she got hurt, well, I'm never going to get married. I vow never to get married, or I'm going to control my eating, or whatever vow that she makes. Now, if a father happens to hear that she has made this vow, the Bible gives you the opportunity that vow need not stand, that the father can disallow it and God will forgive it and they can go on. I want to tell you, when I read that scripture, I knew that the Holy Spirit was giving me a word for you today, for many of you in the house today. And this is this. Your physical father may not have heard the vow that you made, but your heavenly Father did. He saw the pain and he saw the vow the day that you made it. He saw that unseen, the lips that move with no voice, where you said, I vow that I will take control of my life. You see, only the Father could disannul the vow. And I want to tell you, your heavenly Father saw when that vow was made in your heart. And he says, I canceled that vow this day in Jesus' name. No vow that has been placed upon you by yourself or anybody else is going to be able to stand. Your heavenly Father this day cancels all vows that you might be forever free from a vow that the devil might have put a hook in to make you something that you are not. My daughter, getting back, and I'm closing on this, my daughter made a vow in her heart. When she was going, she felt ugly, and in her heart, this is what happened. She made a vow. And for years, when we began to understand that she would, after dinner, she wouldn't eat very much, then after dinner, she would go back up to her room so quickly. Or she would miss lunch or miss dinner and say, I'm studying, I've got too much homework, or she'd forget her lunch to going to school. And so we didn't notice this to begin with as this enemy came into our own household. But when it became evident and clear as my daughter was losing more and more weight, then we recognized that there was a struggle and she could not get out of that struggle out of her own strength. She couldn't get out. There was no way that she could get herself out of this way of seeing things and the way of how she viewed herself. And she couldn't break this bond over her mind. But I remember my wife going and getting a video and showing it to her of the results of anorexia. And I would take her on special dates and I would talk. We would pray together. My wife and I would sit down. We would talk. We would share. But together we took this as a problem. There was no condemnation. But it was slow. But there came a point. And I believe as a father, I was able to just pray with her and the thing was broken in your life. But many young people today don't have a father. They don't have somebody to take them aside and work with them and say, you're beautiful. I love you. You're a good young lady. God has marvelous plans. But I want to tell you today, you have a Father in heaven. You have a Father in heaven that loves you. You have a Father in heaven that wants to release you and set you free today. Whether it has just been an attack of your mind or whether you've been in it. And I want to speak a word to the men. You young men and you men in the house. You've got to say and you've got to stop in your heart of just thinking that you're only going to speak to somebody that the media has declared is a good person. I want to declare to you today, every woman in the house, a good person. God says, you're beautiful. loved, and totally accepted in Jesus Christ. Amen? Pray with me today. No clapping. Now, Lord Jesus, we've tackled a very tough subject. And I know that so many have been plagued by the way they look. But this day, we make a proclamation of freedom. Lord, it's slavery in another form. It's bondage and chains. And it ends in death. But this day, we proclaim liberty in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with me. I'm going to invite you to take courage today. On the platform, I'm going to give you the opportunity that if God has spoken to you and you want to respond, just to get off the platform and just to come down to this altar. God is going to do a work and He's going to give you a promise that He's got a life for you and a purpose. And we're going to give you the opportunity that if this has spoken to you, just get up. You're going to need courage, young people, today. You're going to need courage and say, Lord, I'm not going to allow this thing to continue, for the enemy to continue my life. And it's going to take enormous courage. But if you step out today, wherever the pendulum swing is in your life, and you say, I want victory, I want God's plan for my life, this altar is open for you, and I'm going to pray a blessing on your life this afternoon. Just step out of the aisle and make your way down to this altar today. You've been struggling, and you want freedom. You come today in Jesus' name. There's a powerful chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, and I want you to go home and read it. And when you read the whole chapter of Deuteronomy, I want you to put the struggle of this in there. The TV, the magazines, the worldview. It's a mighty chapter that God is giving to His people for absolute deliverance from all enemies. But there's one verse in particular that I want to share with you at this altar this afternoon. Well, actually two verses. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. And I want you to listen to me very carefully as I read this to you. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And He shall deliver their kings into thy hand. The king of control, king rejection, king vow, king selection, king fat, king thin, king anorexia, king bulimia. He says, and He shall deliver their kings, it's plural, into thine hand. And thou shalt destroy their name. Beloved, I just began to rejoice and jump in my apartment, because you see, it's the name, chubby, fat, skinny. It's all these things that become such a king in your life. But He says, but you shall destroy their name from under heaven, and there shall no man, never again will a magazine, a television, or another human being put you under condemnation. There will be no man be able to stand before thee until you have destroyed them. Beloved, there is no king that can control your life. And God says, you will destroy these kings that have brought you into bondage, that have held you captive. And today I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray from your heart that God is going to destroy these kings in Jesus' name. Would you close your eyes and pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I thank you that your word has come and I've eaten it. And it has sweetened my mouth. It is news of victory. And you are going to go after every king that has set up his throne in my life. this day those kings are destroyed. And no man is going to be able to bring me into bondage again. The name of these kings today are disposed, destroyed, laid down, never to rise again in my life. I am free from the dictates of these kings in my life. Their name shall never again affect me as they have in the past. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I know that you have done a deep work today. And there is true freedom in the heart of these people at this altar and beyond. And Lord, the plans that you have will now emerge. They will not be overshadowed by the lies of the devil another day, but truth about who they are, loved, accepted, blessed with purpose, with vision, smart, powerful. This is who you say they are. And this is your declaration on their life this day. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now give him thanks today. Give him thanks.
This is the conclusion of the message.